You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
It is God who always is pursuing us. Not we trying to pursue God, can't find him. And if you are frantically trying to get God to do this or that for you, my advice for you is chill out and realize that God is saying to every one of us, be still and know that I am God.
Learn more on Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef
at 9:30 a.m. and p.m. daily on WCNO.
Navigating the real estate market in Florida today can get a little crazy. Ozzie Carbonell of Century 21 All Professional is here to help. Today on the Treasure Coast and in the Palm Beaches, the housing market is back in full force and there are a number of financing and home buyer programs. Understanding and incorporating the right program can be essential when purchasing real estate. It also can be very time consuming and painstaking. In short, the complexities of purchasing a home in today's market can be like riding on a crazy train. Home buying doesn't have to be crazy. Ozzie Carbonell of Century 21 All Professional is offering a free seminar on how to prepare to buy a home, what programs are available to you, and how you can qualify. You can sign up for this free seminar by contacting Ozzie Carbonell at 561-201-5499. The number again is 561-201-5499.
También hablamos en español.
The Revealing Truth Radio broadcast thanks Ed Meyer, Century 21, All Professional, for their underwriting support.
Hi, this is Ed Myers, Realtor with Century 21, All Professional, and member of the National Association of Realtors. Whether you are buying, selling, or renting a home, understanding the market can be essential. I'm a Century 21 top producer, recipient of the Century 21 Presidential Award, Century 21 Centurion Award, and Quality Service Pinnacle Award. I proudly served the United States Marine Corps, and now I'm specializing in serving the Port St. Lucie, Stuart, Fort Pierce, West Palm Beach, and surrounding areas of the Treasure Coast. Real estate is the key to building long-term wealth, whether you're looking to buy, sell, or rent a home, a first-time home buyer, or an investor. Letting an experienced professional with a proven track record could make all the difference. I would love the opportunity to help you. You can reach me by phone or text at 772-342-0047. Again, that number is 772-342-0047. Taking care of business.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Bob Tarvis, your host for the Revealing Truth Radio broadcast. I want to invite you to listen in today as Pastor Jason Baumgartner takes us on a journey through God's Word that will reveal truths for our lives. John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Grab a pen and take some notes, and let the Holy Spirit reveal the Father's heart to you.
The first day and the eighth day were both declared the days of rest. Everybody say the days of rest. That means they came and they did nothing. How many know just because we don't talk about the Sabbath a lot anymore don't mean that you shouldn't have a Sabbath? Come on, the Sabbath is Saturday. That's the day you don't do nothing. That's the day you hang out with your family. That's the day you relax. That's the day that you take your shoes off, kick your feet up, barbecue at the house. That's the Sabbath. God wants you to rest and do nothing. How many know we don't have church on the Sabbath? We have church on Sunday, the first day, because we want to start our week out with Jesus. Come on, amen. See, this is good because we're all starting our week out with Jesus together this week. That means that your week's going to be better than the week you had last week because you didn't come to church. There's no better way to start your week than to start your week with Jesus. And then at the end of the week, you rest. So that's what they got going on. The first day and the eighth day, they're resting. And they're just to enjoy each other, enjoy their family, enjoy God, talk about his blessings. But in the days between, one of the things that would happen is the high priest would take this gold pitcher and he would make the journey from the Temple Mount down to the pool of Siloam. How many of you remember the pool of Siloam? The pool of Siloam, if you remember, is the pool where Jesus put mud in the blind guy's eye and he told him to go in there and wash. Okay, let me just take a little side note right here. How many know when God gives us instructions, they're really not that complicated? I think sometimes we're waiting for God to give us a 10-point instruction on how to live our life. And if it's anything less than that, then we don't think God's in it. But Jesus was very specific. Many times when he dealt with people, he gave very simple instructions. Go wash. Take up your mat. Come on, somebody. Very simple stuff. So anyway, they would go down to this pool in Siloam, and he would take the golden pitcher, and he would dip it in the water, and then he would come up towards the mount, and he would enter into a procession. How many know what a procession is? That's a big group of people walking together. Not too long ago, I've seen processions before, but not too long ago, I was at the Gaylord Palms in Orlando, which is this massive hotel that has like a city inside the hotel. Just an amazing place. There was this wedding that was going on. We were there for a conference. The conference had ended, but we stayed one more day, and there was a wedding going on, and it was from people from India. And they had this corridor. It's probably as wide as this building that connects the convention center to the hotel, and it's up on, it's over the top of the ground. It's on the second floor. And they had this procession that came in, and they brought the bride in on their shoulders. And it was thousands of women dancing, coming in with her. And then the groom came in after she got set up, and there were thousands of men coming down this corridor, as wide as this church and about three times as long as this church, full of men dancing, coming in. This is the picture that was what it kind of looked like, what was going on. There was a procession with this priest. Now, he wasn't by himself. He had thousands of people that were following him. And these people, and this is what reminded me of this wedding, these people would be playing tambourines, and they were dancing. And they were glorifying God all the way down to the pool. And from the pool all the way back up, they'd be singing. And they would go through the water gate. They would enter back into the city. And as they entered into the city, they'd come to the place of the temple where the rock or the basin at the temple was that was sitting before the altar. And he would take that pitcher and he would take it full of water and he would pour it out on the rock where the basin was. And that would symbolize that when they came up out of Egypt, at a time when they were in the desert, they didn't have any water for 3 days, God gave them water out of a rock. Come on, somebody. Because he is the rock. Another AKA, the rock. Come on, amen. They didn't have nothing to drink, and Moses brings water out of the rock. God supplies them with water, and the rock becomes the supply for their need. Come on, how many know Jesus supplies our need this morning, huh? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that that rock in the Old Testament during that time was in fact Jesus. Jesus didn't just come as a human, he came as a rock too. No, you didn't hear me. He's the rock of our life, the foundation of our life, amen? So here we are, this is a thousand years later, we're in Israel, they're still celebrating the fact that God brings water up out of a rock, but it's symbolic. He's pouring water out of the pool of Siloam on this rock. And it is at that moment, ladies and gentlemen, thousands of people are standing around, thousands of people with tambourines. Everybody's gone silent. He's pouring the water out of the golden pitcher over the rock, symbolizing that one day God's going to send a Messiah that's going to satisfy their thirst for all of time. And he's going to bring their life into a place of completeness. And it's in the middle of that ceremony at the end of John chapter 7, Jesus stands up and he said, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For out of his innermost belly shall flow rivers of living water. Come on, somebody. And Jesus begins to proclaim in front of everybody at the ceremony where the priest just dumps the water on the rock that he is the living water. That he is the satisfier. That he can give you and fill your thirst in every situation of your life. It don't matter how dry you are. It don't matter how desperate you are. It don't matter how low you've gone. He will satisfy your thirst. As a matter of fact, he told the woman at the well, he goes, the water you give will keep you thirsty, but the water that I can give you will satisfy you through eternity. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. And so what's happened is you got all these Pharisees and all these religious leaders that are standing around and they begin to question him. Who are you to say that you are going to be our rock? Who are you that you say you're going to supply our water? Who do you think you are to declare yourself to be God? Because in essence, they knew exactly what he was doing. They knew what it symbolized. Come on, amen. And Jesus begins to answer the question. A debate breaks out and it gets a little bit argumentative. And that day comes to a close, and the Bible says the next morning early that they had come to the eighth day. He has now announced that he is the living water. He let everybody know that was in that procession, and everybody that knows that saw that water poured out, that, hey, that ain't the real living water. This is symbolic. I'm the living water. So at the beginning of John 8, he comes to the temple and he begins to teach. He's in the temple teaching. Let me tell you where he would have been teaching. He would have been teaching in the place that is called the court of women. Everybody say the court of women. That's where he was that day. The court of women. The temple had several divisions in it. There was the court of the Gentiles. That meaning that's as far as, if you weren't a Jew, that's as far as you could go. You couldn't go past the court of Gentiles. They couldn't go any farther because only Jews could go past the court of Gentiles into the holy place or the most holy place. Well, before you get to the court of Gentiles, there's another court called the court of women, because there's only one thing lower than Gentiles, and that was women. Nah, you didn't hear me. See, Jesus didn't just come to set us free. He came to break all kinds of things in the culture. All the women say amen, please. I don't know who I'm talking to today. So women could only go that far. So in the court of women was where you would have the biggest crowds of people that were in the temple. It's the place where the offering was received. It's the place where Jesus was standing there, and the widow came in and gave her two mites, and Jesus watched her put it in. So we got people get all kind of nervous and start talking about money, and you know, and we don't want nobody to know what we give. Jesus was standing right there looking at an offering plate. Mm-hmm. Where am I at today? In the court of women, amen. So he's standing in the court. He's standing in the court of women, and he's teaching the word of God, which he is the word of God. He's also known as, AKA, the Word, John chapter 1. And all of a sudden, these religious leaders who had an argument with him the day before about him being the living water, they show up. And the same guys are like, who do you think you are? They show up on the scene, and they bring this woman that's half-naked, caught in the act of adultery, and they throw her down at the feet of Jesus, stench of lust in the air, caught in the act, a big mess, and they're all standing there with these accusing tones, and they throw her right down in front of him, and they say to him, what's to be done with this woman? For the law of Moses says she's to be stoned. What do you say, Mr. Living Water? We want to know what you say. And they thought they'd found a really good riddle for him, because, number one, if he didn't follow the law of Moses, then he would have presented himself as a false prophet to all the people, and they wouldn't listen to him anymore because he didn't obey the law of Moses. Because now he has announced he is God, and God can't break his own law. Come on, amen. But if he pronounces judgment on her, then he violates the Roman law that nobody can be put to death without Roman approval. And he would have sanctioned a riot or a sanctioned a death, and he would have been found guilty for that, tried and killed. So they thought they really had Jesus kind of pigeonholed here, and they thought they really had him trapped. Amen? So they feel like they got him. And Jesus is standing there now, having been put on the spot by all these people that were upset about him saying that he is the living water, that anybody that comes to him won't be thirsty anymore. And he's standing there where there are hundreds and hundreds of people in the court of women that are watching this take place. And he looks back at the crowd that day and to the group of Pharisees who had brought this woman. And he says to them, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. And the crowd goes silent. It was like the Super Bowl loss for the Panthers at the end of the game. And Cam Newton was crying. Should I keep going? No, he shocks them. They weren't ready for it. You who are without sin, cast the first stone. In other words, boys, we're going to give this girl what she deserves. If you qualify to judge her, go ahead and you start. You be the first one to start. And now all the champions of the law and all the Pharisees of the law become cowards because they're being exposed for the hypocrites that they really are. And one by one, the Bible says they begin to drop their stones and walk away. And Jesus, kneeling down in the sand, begins to write in the sand with his finger. And nobody to this day really knows what he wrote. All we know is that he was doing it. And they were dropping their rocks and they're walking away from him. And he says to the woman, he says, hey, lady, where's your accusers at? Where are they? And she said, I have none. And he said to her, neither do I condemn you. Now, let me just stop right there, because I just want you to know that Jesus did not put his seal of approval on adultery. I'm going to help somebody. Come on, amen. He said, neither do I condemn you, because watch this, go and sin no more. And then he says this to her, which is amazing. For I am the light of the world. and in me, he that has the light has life. In other words, what you're doing in your life right now is death. What you got going on, sweetie? Letting these guys use you, living in this broken place, living in a place where you're not where you're supposed to be, is darkness. But I'm the light. Don't sin anymore. Embrace the light. Come on, amen. He was brought a woman who was caught in the most unbelievable act of darkness, and he begins to reveal to her the realities of a broken life. And he says to her, watch this, guys, please don't miss this, because Jesus never condones sin. He does not condone sin.
And now we're going to take a break from the message. We will be rejoining Pastor Jason in just a moment. But first, I want to take this opportunity to tell you about Truth Church. Truth Church is located in the heart of St. Lucie County at 3891 Edwards Road in Fort Pierce. Our Sunday worship service starts at 10 a.m. Truth Church is a non-denominational Pentecostal church. There's a ministry for the whole family at Truth Church. Whether it's our monthly senior meetings, children's church, or youth group, there's something for everyone. We've been experiencing a powerful move of God in our services, and we would love for you to come and visit with us. If you're new to the area or you're looking for a home church, we invite you to come and join us. First, you will be our guest, and then you will be our family. Truth Church, a place for the whole family.
I'm praising under open skies, everything breathing, praising God. You're my company.
When sin is going on in our life, it is a mechanism to take you away from Jesus or to keep you living in a place of darkness without full revelation of who he is or what he's done. Come on, amen. And he says to her, watch this, I am the light. Now let me tell you why that's important, because this is why this makes sense to us. Because remember, there were two symbolic acts that are taking place this week during the feast. Not only was the pitcher being poured out over the rock where he says, hey, I'm the living water. Not only was that going on, but in the court of women, and also in the court of Gentiles, during the Feast of Tabernacles, there were these four giant menorahs, what we call today menorahs. You know what I'm talking about, with the seven candles on them? There was four of them, and they were huge. Seven branches coming up from each menorah, but these menorahs were 75 feet tall. Four of them. Two in the court of the women, two in the court of Gentiles, up on the Temple Mount on the hill of Jerusalem, where you could see them from anywhere. And on the top of each one of these menorahs was 10-gallon bowls full of oil. And they would take the garments of the priest that had been used, and they would cut them up to become wicks in the bowl. And they would have these young men who would climb these ladders with torches, and they would light the lights, because up on the Temple Mount, you would be able to see the lights. 300,000 or 400,000 people would be able to see the lights burning all over Jerusalem. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, it really meant that we're celebrating because God has come to dwell amongst us. He is the light of the world. Look to the hills where your salvation comes from. Amen. That's what tabernacling is really all about. When you tabernacle with somebody, it means that he's come to dwell with us. Remember when Jesus went up the mountain with the disciples and Peter's like, let us build a tent. He wanted to tabernacle. That's what Peter wanted to do. He's like, hey, this is right. This makes sense. We need to tabernacle. That's what tabernacling is. And they would light these huge menorahs on top of the hill, and every family that came to the Feast of Tabernacles was commanded to bring a torch or a light with them. So you would see hundreds of thousands of torches lit all over Jerusalem after the eighth day of rest during the Feast of the Tabernacles, with people lighting lights everywhere, symbolically proclaiming that the great I Am is the light of the world. Come on, amen. Can you imagine all these people on top of the hill with torches and these huge menorahs lit up, and they're up there dancing, and they believe that one day the light is coming, it's going to set things straight, that their life is going to get straightened out, that the Messiah is going to come, he's going to rule, he's going to reign, he's going to bring peace to the earth, we're all going to become one family, we're all going to love God, we're going to live eternity with him, where there's no more suffering, no more pain, no more torment. Come on, that was a representation of what God wanted to do in the world. And this is what happened. He said, I am the light of the world. Jesus stood in the midst of all of that stuff to this woman with these giant 75-foot menorahs burning in the background with hundreds of people in the temple. And he says to them, I ain't only the living water, baby, but I am the light of the world. candlelight. Not your false artificial menorahs that are burning all around me. Not your thousands of torches. I'm here to declare to you today that I am the light of the world. That the light is among you. The light is here. They knew exactly what he was talking about. They knew exactly what was going on. Somebody help me. Amen. When they heard him say it, they knew what was happening. He was saying everything that you're going through, the motions of what you're trying to accomplish, I am. I'm it. Somebody shout, he's it. Praise the Lord. Two things I'm going to give you today and we're going to get out of here. First of all, light is always a witness. Light, come on, say it with me. Light is always a witness. Light shines to something. It gives witness to something. I mean, headlights on your car let you see the road in front of you at nighttime. I don't know how bold you are, but I don't want to drive around without no headlights on. I like to know where I'm going. They're revealing something that's out in front of you so that you can see what's ahead of you as you're moving along. When light shines, it always gives witness to things that you can't see or things that you don't understand. Do you realize that every time God got ready to make a shift in the Bible, a new day or a new beginning, don't miss this. Listen to what he did. He always began it with a light show. You think everybody's like, I don't know about all these lights in the church. Are we really just getting too worldly with all these lights? Come on, you know some of you thought it. Can I just tell you, every time God got ready to do something new, he did it with a light show. Come on now. He always began with a light show. You say, is that in the Bible? Well, let me tell you what I'm talking about. Genesis 1, the earth was in darkness, and it was covered by darkness. It was without form, and it was void. Come on, somebody. Darkness covered the face of the deep. And God said, I'm about to shift all this stuff around. I'm about to do something different. Everything that's in chaos is about to come in order. I'm about to make things that are out of order come into order. I'm about to take a mess and straighten out this mess. And this is what it began with in verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And shoom! There was light. You say, well, that's just a Big Bang Theory. That's just all the stars, the sun, and all that. No, it's not. That was on day 4. Read your Bible. It's interesting what you can find in there.
Thank you for joining us today for the Revealing Truth with Pastor Jason Baumgartner. We hope you will tune in again each day, Monday through Friday at 11:30 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. To obtain your copy of this week's message, please send your check for $5 for shipping and handling to 3891 Edwards Road, Fort Pierce, Florida 34981, and ask for your free copy of The Love of the Father. Pay by phone or simply make a love gift, you can call 772-461-8555. That number again is 772-461-8555. For more exciting information on our church, service times, and directions, you can check us out on the web at igniteyourworld.com. This has been The Revealing Truth with Pastor Jason Baumgartner, and I'm your host, Bob Tarbis. See you next time on The Revealing Truth.
Navigating the real estate market in Florida today can get a little crazy. Ozzy Carbonell of Century 21 All Professional is here to help. Today on the Treasure Coast and in the Palm Beaches, the housing market is back in full force and there are a number of financing and home buyer programs. Understanding and incorporating the right program can be essential when purchasing real estate. It also can be very time consuming and painstaking. In short, the complexities of purchasing a home in today's market can be like riding on a crazy train. Home buying doesn't have to be crazy. Ozzy Carbonell of Century 21 All Professional is offering a free seminar on how to prepare to buy a home, what programs are available to you, and how you can qualify. You can sign up for this free seminar by contacting Ozzy Carbonell at 561-201-5499. The number again is 561-201-5499. También hablamos en español.
training us up in the way we should go. Consider a school where children learn to love, where learning is inspired, reading is an adventure, where pupils have time for creativity, math, and logic, where respect is modeled like please and thank you, where truth is taught along with history and literature, where innovation and leadership are fostered as college and careers are planned. That's the future of a Golden Rule Academy pupil. Learn more at goldenruleacademy.net.
Ignite Your World Ministries, Truth Church, and all its affiliate ministries thanks Destiny Network and Bishop Tony Miller. Destiny Network International exists to serve pastors, local churches, and ministry leaders that make up Destiny Network International. For more information on joining the Destiny Network, go to www.destinynetwork.org.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. We sing.